We are concluding our series on perfect love. For this month of February, our focus was on love. And the whole world remembers a different form of love or a different definition of love. We wanted to take the opportunity to study on the biblical definition of love and the perfection of that love as well. Before that, just wanted us to watch a video and then we will get into the sermon. That is perfect love. There's no greater love than this. The man laid down his life for his friends. For the past couple of weeks in this month of February, we were focusing our attention on this perfect love. As a recap of it, a few verses I just wanted to share with us as we look at it. From 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12. I hope by now you might have guessed it. Otherwise, let me share with you. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Please note it down. His love is perfected in us. I hope you have your pencils or pens to write it down. No one has ever seen God. His love is perfected in us. If you want, you can see the screen and write down those words. That was our first sermon. God's love perfected in us. The downward vertical relationship of God's love. God loves me. God loves you. His love is being perfected in us. Secondly, let's note it down. Shall we all read this together, please? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. Come on, let's read it out. Let's read it. I know you can write it later. Shall we have boldness in the day of judgment? Because as he is, so are we in this world. So herein is our love made perfect. God's love perfected in us. Our love made perfect, meaning our relationship with God, our upward vertical relationship with God, according to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, a few verses after verse 12. And then for today, we are going to pick up the following verse, the next verse, which is 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. Shall we all read this together and then note it down, please? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Please note it down. I'll give some time to fill in the blanks if you haven't done it. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. And today's sermon is titled, To Be Perfected in Love. Be perfected in love, according to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. Let's read this in different languages. First in Telugu, let's read this together, please.
Premalo bhayamundadu. అంతే కాదు పరిపూర్ణ ప్రేమ భయమును వెళ్ళగొట్టును. భయము దండనతో కూడినది. భయపడువాడు ప్రేమయందు పరిపూర్ణము చేయబడినవాడు కాడు.
థాంక్ యూ. ఉర్దూ, లెట్స్ డు దట్.
మహబ్బత్ మే ఖౌఫ్ నహీ హోతా బల్కే కామల్ మహబ్బత్ ఖౌఫ్ కో దూర్ కర్ దేతీ హై క్యూంకి ఖౌఫ్ సే అజాబ్ హోతా హై ఔర్ కోయి ఖౌఫ్ కర్నే వాలా మహబ్బత్ మే కామల్ నహీ హువా.
அன்பிலே பயமில்லை, பூர்ண அன்பு பயத்தை புறம்பே தள்ளும். பயமானது வேதனை உள்ளது, பயப்படுகிறவன் அன்பில் பூர்ணப்பட்டவன் அல்ல.
Thank you. Let's read this in Hindi also. Whoever can read it, they can take the microphone with you and read it together. Let's all read this if possible. பிரேம் மே பய நஹி ஹோதா பரன் சித்த பிரேம் பய தூர் கர் தேதா ஹை க்யோங்கி பய சே கஷ்ட ஹோதா ஹை ஔர் ஜோ பய கர்தா ஹை वो प्रेम में सिद्ध नहीं हुआ. May the Lord bless the reading of this portion as we focus our attention on two words today. Fear and love. Two words. Fear and love. There are two kinds of fears the Bible talks about. One, the fear of God. And the other fears, if I may. Anything other than the fear of God. The fear of other things. As per the church promise, as part of the series promise to K19, we were meditating upon the fact that the Lord will put his fear into our hearts. And we also mentioned that during the course of this year, we are going to have a Bible study on the fear of God. But what is this fear? This is that which is contrary to the fear of God. Any other kind of fears other than the fear of God. Something I just wanted to share with you to make it different, because sometimes we might get confused. What Bible talks about fear, fear God, fear and not fear, and what is it? It's the object of fear that is making the difference here. I happened to come across a top 10 strong human fears, and I thought I'll share with you. Top 10 strong human fears. They are, starting from the 10th to the 1st, losing your freedom, fear of the unknown, fear of pain, fear of disappointment, fear of misery. Misery means losing or poverty or things like that. Fear of loneliness, fear of ridicule, meaning criticism, negative criticism. What will people think of me? Why are people talking like that, etc.? Fear of rejection and fear of death and fear of failure. I was thinking probably death could have been the first one, but it's the second in the list of the surveys that were taken. Fear of death definitely is one of them, and fear of failure. These are all the different kinds of fears human beings, we as human beings, go through in our lives. How about that? Something else, brother, that is not in the list? Add it. There are many more. I'm not saying that these are the only ones. Maybe for you, something else is top one. Maybe something is going on in our lives where we are going through fear. From the day we are awake in the morning, we are going through fears, fears, fears. What will happen? What will happen? Fear of what will happen to me? Fear of what will happen to my spouse? Fear of what will happen to my family? Fear of ill health, fear of pain, fear of rejections, and many other things that are here. So if I were to ask each one of us, I'm sure there will be many more that will be added up here. These are just the top 10 as per some surveys that were done. Fear is something that when I was looking at the scriptures as to what is this fear and why this fear has come into picture. But before we go into that, I just wanted to remind each other of this verse that we just read it in English. The bottommost one, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Talking about the perfect love. There was once upon a time, Jane was going to get married, and her friend Jemima decided to send them a text message wishing the happy couple. And she wanted that to be read during the wedding. She thought of the verse that we just read. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. From 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. But text messages being what they are, she decided just to send the reference. Because, short messaging system, that's what SMS is. And its maximum per message is 160 characters. Usually in those days, people used to charge. We used to get charged for SMS. So these people used to be very short messaging that used to happen. So she just sent the reference 1 John 4:18. Unfortunately, in her haste, she omitted the one. Instead of 1 John 4:18, she just sent John 4:18. You can read what it says in John 4:18, or we can display it, John 4:18. Unfortunately, in her haste, she omitted the one, showing that it was John's letter rather than John's gospel. And the verse Jane found when she looked it up in the gospel read, this is what it read. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly. Just that little one digit one has changed the whole story, the meaning of it. She wanted to share, perfect love, casts out fear, wonderful, wonderful. It ended up in a wrong note when just the references are sent. So be careful when you send just the references to people. Before you send it, read it all over again. And also when you send it, sometimes you might forget to whom you're sending. You might end up sending to someone else. I'm sure we have messed up sending our text messages to wrong people, wrong window, some people say on return. And I know there are some social messaging apps where you can delete it within a short time, but by then probably people must have already seen it. So I just wanted to share it in a lighter note about this verse, 1 John 4:18, because that is a verse we are primarily focusing upon. So today we are going to look at, as I was telling you, about two aspects, fear and love, and also we'll focus on love one another. If you remember the last 2 weeks, we were meditating upon God loves us, that is downward relationship. We love God, upward relationship. And then there is one more that will complete the circle, and that is what love one another is, and that is what we are going to meditate upon. Fear. Fear is something that really bothers us so much. And it makes us imagine the things that are not yet happened, but might happen. Most of it might not happen, but because of the fear, we get anxious and we go through worry in our lives. And fear got into human beings through our forefathers, actually going back to Adam. It's recorded in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10. If you see your Bibles in the book of Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve committed sin, verse 9 it says, "Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you? Where are you?'" God is asking, "Where are you? What's going on? Every day we were having fellowship with each other. In the cool of the evening, we used to have fellowship with each other. Now what happened? Where are you?" To that, you know what happened in between. They have disobeyed the commandment of the Lord. They were tempted by the serpent, the Satan, who enabled both of them to disobey and eat of the fruit of the knowledge, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And verse 10, let us see. It says, he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." This is the first time ever the word fear or afraid got its occurrence in the Bible. Fear. When did the fear come? After sin entered into the human beings. The sin was the cause of Adam, for that matter Eve as well, together with him, were afraid of God, to approach God, and they were hiding themselves because of fear. Why? Because of the fear that came because of the sin of disobedience that came into picture. Back to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. There are certain things. You don't need to open it also. It's there right on your sermon notes. There are four things I want us to share. I want us to look at from fear perspective. From this one verse. From this one verse, let us look at what are the four things that we can learn about fear and love. Let's see that. First, fear is not present in love. Note it down. Fear is not present in love. Something for us to be able to recognize it. There's no fear in love. That's what it says. Based on that only, based on that one verse I'm sharing with you. Fear is not present in love. When there is love, there is no fear. When there is fear, there is something that we need to question about love itself. There is no fear, or their fear is not present in love. What is the second one? I'm sure by now you must have guessed it from the same verse. Fear is cast out by perfect love. That's what it says here, again in verse 18. Perfect love casts out fear, or in other words, in a passive sentence, fear is cast out by perfect love. Fear is not present in love. There is no fear in love. Fear is cast out by perfect love. And thirdly, fear involves punishment. Fear has to do with punishment. Being afraid, what will happen? Fear has to do with punishment. Fear involves punishment. They were afraid. Adam and Eve were afraid to approach God and have fellowship with Him because the fear factor got into them. They knew that God Himself said, in the day that you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. So they were afraid. They disobeyed. Fear involves punishment. You and I, because of the sinful nature that we are born in, and the sinful acts that we do and what we think, the Bible says that involves, it has to do with punishment. What will happen? Will I go to heaven? Or will I go to hell? Do you have that fear? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21, and verse 8. Sometimes it uses different words, but there is one verse that I want to us to look at, maybe in another translation, maybe ESV or NKJV as well. As we look at it, it says in verse 8, but the fearful, in an NASB, they translate it as cowardly. But if you have any other translation, or if you can display it in another translation, can you please do that? In ESV or NKJV or KJV, whichever that is, it says here that, but those who are fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So let me tell you, this is what is going to happen one day. And out of this list, the first one is fearful. Fear involves punishment. Fear of being punished. Lord, what will happen to me? I have committed this sin. I'm born in sin. I am bound to punishment. The wages of sin is death. That is what the fear. Fear of the unknown. And sometimes not having the confidence of the fact that what Christ did for us, that fear factor continues. So let us not be in that cowardly nature or fearful nature, unbelieving, fearful and unbelieving. And that is how it continues on and on. But I was surprised to note that word in this list, starting off with those fearful or the fear factors that is getting involved in the people. The next one, the fourth one in our list, let us look at that. And that is, fear not, be perfected in love. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So I tried to put forth in a manner that would enable us to understand that whoever is having fear is unable to be perfected in love, because fear has nothing to do with love, or love has nothing to do with fear. Fear involves punishment. Those who fear has not been perfected in love. That means I need to go through this particular statement, the final statement. Fear not. Instead, what should I do? I should continue to be perfected in love. As I experience God's perfected love in me, and as my love towards Him gets perfected, I want to be perfected in love as well. I want to be perfected in love. You have to be perfected in love. What is this love? This love is agape love. The sacrificial love, unconditional love that God has shown towards us. That when He loved us to the extent of casting out that fear from us. Those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Don't fear of the condemnation anymore if you are in Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. Many Christians, so-called believers, go through fear in their lives, unable to experience the perfect love of God in us. If somebody asks you, are you going to heaven? What is your answer? Sometimes we mumble. You are not sure. Why? In Christ, the perfect love of Christ that has come into this world in order to sacrifice Himself for us on the cross of Calvary, having experienced that forgiveness of God for our sins, we should be able to have that assurance of the fact, fear is gone. He came into this world to die for me on the cross of Calvary. He shed his precious blood for my sins. He took the punishment of my sins unto himself. Not only did he die for me, but also he has been buried and he rose again and he lives forever. And that is why the songwriter says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Have you noticed that small phrase in that song? We know the song. We keep singing that song. But there are certain phrases in that song that will really catch our attention. Because he lives. Can we say that truthfully? All fear is gone? No, brother, it's hard. So far, I didn't realize it. Now, next time when I sing, I'll be careful whether to sing that portion or not, you might say. But let me tell you, if you are in Christ, if you are raised up with Christ, the Bible says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. The uncertainty, the unknown future ahead of me, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Fear not. Fear not. The message of Christmas has been, fear not. The angel went and spoke to Joseph and said, fear not. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Fear not. Because Joseph was afraid. What will happen? What will people think about me? Log kya kahenge? What will people think? A person who is already pregnant? How can I marry her? Do not be afraid, for the one that is being born, or she is conceived by the Holy Spirit of God, don't be afraid. All fear is gone. To Mary also, fear not, the angel said, you favored one, in the book of Luke chapter 1. And to the shepherds, the angel said, do not be afraid, for this day in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Luke chapter 2. Do not be afraid. The message of Christmas is fear not. All fear is gone. Even in the Old Testament, continuously, whenever there were enemy attacks, whenever there were situations that people were going through, time and again, people were reminded not to be afraid. In Numbers chapter 13 and 14, it talks about the fact that Moses sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan. And the 12 came back. Out of them, 10 of them said, oh, this is a terrible land. I know there is milk and honey there, but the people there are giants. We cannot go and occupy that land. There is no way in which we can do that. 10 of them told, out of 12. You do the percentage, how much it is. Majority. 10 of them told it. But if you read Numbers chapter 13 and 14, there were two people who were constantly telling, God can deliver us. God can deliver us. Starting with Caleb. And then there was a second person, who is Joshua. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 9, it says, Joshua told these people, do not fear. Let's read that. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 9. Let's all read this together, please. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bred for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Why should I not be afraid? Because the Lord is with you. If you experience the presence of the Lord with us, the perfect love with us, fear should be cast away. How can we experience love of God, God with me, and then still fear happening? Yes, humanly speaking, brother, don't you get afraid? Of course, we all go through fear, but we are reminded over and over again. Somebody counted it and they said there are 366 times the word fear not is mentioned to be able to cater to even a leap year once a day. I didn't make the count, but somebody mentioned it. But the point you and I need to recognize is that the Bible constantly reminds us not to be afraid. Similarly, in 2 Kings chapter 6, also reminds us of another incident that has happened, 2 Kings chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6, where there were Arameans, Aram means Syrians, they were trying to capture Elisha. And people were afraid. And then verse 15, when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots were circling the city. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do? These people, oh, big army of horses and chariots, so much of trouble is coming. First thing in the morning, early in the morning, the moment I wake up in the morning, I get so many emails, so many messages talking about this thing that has happened, that thing that has happened in that area, this thing that has happened with the immigration, something is going on with the health issues, many, many things that are happening. First thing in the morning, early in the morning, armies of chariots, the kind of ways in which the enemy attacks us through our smartphones and some other ways of entering into us. What shall we do?" And then in verse 16, Elisha says, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. First thing in the morning, Elisha had to remind this man that God is with us. His angelic forces, unseen forces. Did this man see it? No. But Elisha, could he perceive it? Yes. How do we know that? Verse 17. Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. We don't see it. We don't see it with our physical eyes. God will enable us to perceive the fact that how much ever attacks we are going through in our lives, since the time you wake up in the morning, we are going through fear. The moment we wake up, we might wake up with fear. Though we are thankful to God, "Thank you, Lord, for keeping me alive this day also." Fears? Oh, what will happen now? What should I do? This project, how should I end? What will my family members think about me? From the morning, anxiety, anxious ways in which we wake up in the morning. But if we get reminded of the fact that God is with us, the ones, verse 16, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Something to be able to note. Constantly recognizing. And that's why we sang the song also from Psalm chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23, very familiar portion of this particular chapter. Verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." Can you say that? The psalmist is saying that. Can I say that? I fear no evil. It's biblical. How many times we are going through fear in our lives? Yes, fear will come, but it has to be cast out by love. It has to be immediately be gone. If you keep letting fear come and stay with us, dine with us, and it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and the love of God cannot be experienced anymore. Perfect love casts out fear. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Why should I not fear evil? Because the presence of God will drive away the fear. Presence of God will drive away the fear. I always get reminded of that small story where fear was knocking at the door. Faith opened. There was nobody out there. Maybe I need to rephrase that statement and say, fear knocked at the door. Love was there with me. And the perfect love, when I opened the door, cast out fear. That is more relevant, I feel. More than faith. Yes, faith is important. But the love is the one that is casting out fear. Love is the one that is casting out fear, my dear. I fear no evil. All fear is gone because he lives. He is with me. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What a wonderful statement. And people, we keep sharing these biblical promises with each other. Sometimes we get it as our personal promises. Also Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Very wonderful chapter. And to be able to remind each other once more. 41 and verse 10. Shall we all read this together, please? Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, all together as it is projected. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The Lord is my light and my salvation. What can man do to me? Psalm chapter 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. Constantly reminding not to be afraid. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is the one who is with me. My dear brothers and sisters, you and I are going through fears in our lives. I'm not saying that you cannot have fear, but it has to be cast out immediately. Paul, the apostle himself, he mentioned about a fear that he was having. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. Shall we read this together, please, as it is projected? Even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side. Conflicts without, fears within. Conflicts without. By the way, this English, sometimes you might wonder, without means, it doesn't mean without conflicts. Conflicts outside and fears inside. That is what the English definition of without means. Out, within means in. Conflicts without, they were having conflicts, problems, challenges. And while they're having conflicts with other people, they're having fears inside. Maybe you're going through fear right now in your life. What kind of fear is causing you unable to experience the perfect love of God? God wants you and I to be perfected, for which he wants to cast out that fear in you through his perfect love. Through his perfect love. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. I want to remind each other through the scriptures only, not my words, but as much as possible through the scriptures. Chapter 1 and verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of timidity. Again, this NASB uses the word timidity, but other translations use the word spirit of fear. Spirit of fear, but of love and power and discipline. It is not about the spirit of timidity or fear. Oh, what will happen? No more. No more fear, but that we may be able to experience love, spirit of love. Spirit of timidity should go away and spirit of fear should go away, but spirit of love should come. That is where the difference is. God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, my dear. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Romans chapter 8 talks towards the last few verses. Neither calamities, nor distress, nor death, or anything can separate us from the love of Christ, it says in Romans chapter 8. All the calamities, all the situations that are circling around you, in spite of the storms in our lives, you and I need to be able to experience the love of God that will take away the fear in our lives. I hope you can... You and I may be able to recognize this important element of the fact that fear should be replaced by love. And the love that comes from God. That is the first element in the fruit of the Spirit. Now the fruit of the Spirit starts with love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we just saw the video as well, talking about love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. He says, if I have all these kind of gifts, yet not have love, I am nothing. Talking about the preeminence of love above all things that you have. First three verses talk about the preeminence of love. Then chapter verse 4 to verse 7 talks about the practice of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not brag, does not keep a record of wrongs. Love perseveres. Verses 4 to 7 talks about the practice of love. We think kindness and love are separate words. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13 brings them together and says love is kind. We think love and patience are two separate words. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says love is patient. We think that these are two separate things. I'm loving, but I won't be patient. It's not possible. I'm loving, but I'll keep record of wrongs. I'm loving, but I'll brag about certain things. No, love itself is that. So we cannot We cannot try to say that I'm having love yet not being able to have the practice of love. Verses 4 and 7, 4 to 7. Verses 8 through 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about the permanence of love, meaning love never ends, now never fails. And these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of this is love. Talking about the permanence of love. Preeminence of love, first three verses. Practice of love, verses 4 to 7. And then we see that it is talking about the permanence of love, verses 8 through 13. That is another study by itself. For that matter, a few years ago, we have meditated on each and every characteristic of love through love series, if you remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we took enough time going one word at a time to recognize the importance of love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. Let me tell you, it's not me who's teaching you about loving one another. Verse 9. Shall we all read this together, please? Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Who is taught? Who is teaching you to love one another? You yourself are taught by God. Are you being taught by God to love one another? We are going to look at the second portion of this particular sermon notes, loving one another. There are four things I want to share with you about loving one another. We are talking about the horizontal relationship, my dear. For the past 2 weeks, we were meditating on the vertical relationship. God loving us and we loving God. Very important. That is the vertical side of the cross. If you see the cross vertical line is longer than the horizontal line. Doesn't mean that I always keep only the vertical line. But it should be properly seen the fact that Lord is God. I want to maintain my vertical relationship with you. But I also want to maintain the horizontal relationship with you. First of all, love your family. Note it down. Love your family. Oh, that's given, you might say. Do you agape your family? Do you love your family? Loving one another requires you and I to focus on the family. Do you love your husband? Do you love your wife? Do you love your children? Husbands, love your wives. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Let's read this together, please. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. This is how we should love. This is the agape love. The word that is used is agape. Husbands, love your wives. It's not saying eros. Yes, of course. Every other human being who is married tend to want to show that intimate love, romantic love with each other. Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church. In loving your family, husbands, love your wives. Verse 28 also reminds again, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives as your own bodies. How much you care for your body, how much you cherish and nourish yourself. How much more you should love your wife. It's a reminder for all the husbands here. He who loves his own wife loves himself. I'm not trying to say that you need to love yourself so much that you forget loving God. No, I'm not trying to say that. But how much, as much as you are concerned about your own protection, your own security. If you focus on your own security more than your wife's security, this question reminds us in verse 28. Your husbands ought to love your wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. That is how you show forth your love. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop at verse It doesn't stop at verse 25, it doesn't stop at verse 28. It goes on till verse 33. Let's read that. Verse 33. It says, let's all read this together. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love your own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Husbands, do your part. Don't try to expect something. That is not love. Love is not expecting. Love is always giving. You always look at the second part of it and say, why is my wife not doing that? That's why I won't love her. No. If that is the case, Christ's love for us is conditional. Christ's love for us is unconditional love. That's agape love. How about wives? Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. Shall we read this together, please? So that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Wives, you might say, only the Bible is talking in Ephesians chapter 5 for husbands to love their wives. Wives, love your husbands. Are you loving your husbands? It's important. Do your part. Don't expect anything in return. Do your part. Obey his commandment. Keep his commandment. The one who keeps his commandment is born of God and loves God. Wives, love your husbands. And it also talks about loving your children as well. Here, talking about the wives or the women to love their children. And there are many other scriptural portions which talk about the fathers loving their children as well. It's very important to show forth our love to our family members. Love your family members. Love your spouse. Love your children. Definitely there is a level and a priority. First thing, love God first. Remind your spouse to love God first. After that comes loving your spouse, loving your children, loving your parents. Because if we love our father or mother, brother or sister more than God, the Bible says we are not worthy of Christ. But that doesn't mean that we don't love them. Have that vertical relationship. Show that vertical relationship in your horizontal relationship as well. Love your family. Family. In the book that I have written about balanced Christian home, there is one portion where I mentioned the acronym for family. One of the ways in which you can put the acronym for family is, Father and Mother, I love you. F-A-M-I-L-Y. Father and Mother, I love you. Or in other words, Father and Mother say, I love you. Most of the time we tell our spouses, I love you. Sometimes even that is not happening. Do you tell your spouse at least once a day, I love you? For those who are married, when was the last time you really said, looking into his eyes or her eyes and said, I love you? How about your children? I'm talking about agape love. The love that is shown by God towards us. Very important for us to experience it. Secondly, you and I need to understand is love your church family. Love your family. Love your church family. It's easy to say church, but I wanted to put the word family. We are a family of God. You need to show forth love towards your the family of faith. Do you show that love? Do I show that love? 1 John chapter 4, in the same chapter that we have been meditating upon the perfect love series. Verse 20 and 21. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Liar, liar. Not a lover, liar. Both sound similar. You might say, I'm a lover, but the Bible says you're a liar. Why? If you say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. When we say the word brother or brethren, talking about the family of God, he is a liar. The one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Cannot, forget it. It is talking about the impossibility of you trying to tell that I love God, I worship God, I love you, Lord. And then the moment when it comes to relationship, horizontal relationship, you are unable to show that love. Verse 21. And this commandment we have from him. Commandment. That the one who loves God should love his brother also. The one who loves God should love his brother also. Very important. The Bible says it's not me. And I need to obey the commandment of God. You also need to obey the commandment of God. Those of us who claim to be called the children of God, those of us who claim to be born of God and knoweth God, the Bible says here in the same chapter, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8. The one who does not love does not know God, for love is God. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We ought to love one another. 1 John chapter 2 also talks about it. That you and I need to experience that love. Verse 9. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. When you read this, 1 John talks so much about love. John the Apostle, the legend says that a lot of disciples who were going behind John the Apostle were asking, why are you keeping on talking about love? You're writing about love. John's gospel talks about love. 1 John talks about love. 2 John talks about love. What is this? Why are you talking about love? He said, if there is no love, there's nothing about Christ. Christ means love. Christians means love. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Not about our faith or so-called things that we show out ourselves. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, faith and all, they come together, but the embodiment of everything is love. Colossians chapter 3, which we are meditating during the Bible study as well. We were reminded of it over and over again. It says in verse 13, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. In verse 14 it says, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The perfect bond of unity is love. How many times we are unable to express or show that love towards one another, be it family members or church family. I'm sure there are differences amongst us. The way in which we are born, the way in which we have our cultures, the way in which our way of dealing things. But because of the faith that we have in Christ Jesus, because we are purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we are able to call each other brother and sister. Remember that. And when we are doing that, how much should we love one another? Maybe we have something against others, some complaint against others. Maybe you are getting offended. What happened to that love then? Are you projecting the offense? I'm getting offended. I'm getting offended. Or are you talking about love? It's very important, my dear brothers and sisters, to be able to recognize this importance of love. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Let's read this as it is projected. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers multitude of sins. That is what love is. You want to understand perfect love? Show the same love that God has shown towards you, towards others. When was the last time, or have you ever told, I love you, brother, I love you, sister? Because this word love is such a misused and a loose word that we don't want to use the word love. People will misunderstand. If a brother talks to another brother, I love you, people will misunderstand in the outside world. Because their definition of love is none other than the eros. They don't think about brotherly love. They don't think about the agape love. Brother, I love you. Sister, I love you. I want to tell in front of every one of you that I love you. According to the word of God, I'm bounded to tell that, and also I want to tell it. How much more should we tell each other, I love you? We need to love one another, my dear. Don't take it lightly. Next, the third thing that you and I quickly, let's conclude on it. Love your neighbor. This is a very familiar verse. Leviticus chapter 19 talks about love your neighbor as yourself. You don't need to go to that. You can refer to it later. Leviticus chapter 19 talks about loving your neighbors. Loving your family. Loving your church family. Loving your neighbors. My neighbor reminded me of that a few months ago. My neighbor, immediate neighbor. He reminded me. Because there were a lot of occasions that we wanted to meet, but you know, we could not go, and finally we went. But he said, your Bible says you love your neighbor. A lot of people tend to refer to it. Love your neighbor as yourself, meaning how much ever you care for yourself, making sure that your family and everything is fine, care for your neighbors as well. In Luke chapter 10, a lawyer comes and asks Jesus, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, what does the law say? What does the Bible say? And he says, love your Lord with all your heart and with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, then go do it, then you shall live. Then the man says, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Love your neighbor. And after all that is over, he says, who is this neighbor? Out of all the people, the Levite, the priest, and the Samaritan, the ones who came, who do you think is the neighbor? And the answer of that person was, the one who showed mercy is the one who is a neighbor. The one who shows mercy is the neighbor. You and I need to be able to go read it. Luke chapter 10 talks about loving your neighbors. Love your neighbor, my dear. Love your neighbors. That is how you and I can show forth love of Christ. That neighbor need not be an immediate neighbor. The one to whom you can show mercy. With the connected world that we have, those who are so far away are also our neighbors, because the moment we send a message, we get a response. How much more we should be caring for the neighbors. And finally, note it down, love your enemies. Love your enemies. The Bible says it, Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. It says, Luke chapter 6 and verse 37. 27, sorry. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Maybe you heard someone telling you that I hate you. Maybe you don't consider them as your enemy, but that person might consider you as an enemy. The Bible says, do good to them that hate you. It's very, very hardening. It's painful to hear somebody who tells you, I hate you. If you haven't heard that, if you haven't experienced it, praise God for it. But let me tell you, there are people who tend to go through this hatred. to the extent of unable to really take those hard situations. Let me tell you, the Bible says, love your enemies. Oh, brother, I shouldn't have any enemies, right? That is why I'm telling you. They may be considering you as your enemy. The Bible says, when you are at the altar, and if someone has something against you, leave it and go reconcile with that person. Not you having something against them. If somebody has something against you, go reconcile with that person. That's what the biblical way of dealing it is. Love your enemies. That is how you can show forth love for one another. In conclusion, I just want us to remind of these two verses, 18 and 21. We love because He first loved us. This is the commandment we have from Him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. And that is how we ended up with these three statements that are there. Jesus loves me. His love is perfected in me. I love Jesus. Our love made perfect. And finally, circle is complete when we have the bottom relationship, which is a horizontal relationship, to be perfected in love. Love one another. May the Lord bless this word.